Before Jesus was crucified, he endured a series of fake trials. There were six different judgments that were manufactured by Jesus' adversaries, and their trumped-up charges ultimately led to shameful accusations. Each one was a sham, and each trial was designed to sabotage the growing sentiment for Jesus. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another study in Matthew chapter 26, where the writer describes these dramatic confrontations. And Chuck draws a parallel between the first century enemies of Jesus and those who deny him today. Chuck titled his message, "Who's Really on Trial?"
Philip Keller has written a fine book years ago titled Rabboni, the word for rabbi. Listen to Keller's words regarding the torture. To celebrate, they decided to indulge in a ghastly game of terrible torture. Here were men who were supposed to protect the interests of their people, subjecting an innocent person to appalling abuse. They turned Jesus over to the street ruffians for some horrible amusement. They jeered at him, challenging him to prophesy who had last struck him a stinging blow. They slashed and smashed his face until it was purple and swollen with great welts. He, the Christ, was in a bear garden with beasts, writes Philip Keller. Meanwhile, Peter is at a distance, probably doesn't see this going on, but he's curious about what's happening. We pick up his story in verse 69. Peter is sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." Now, how would she know that? Remember, for over 3 years, Peter has been in a group following Jesus, a group of disciples. Furthermore, he's been the leader of the group. And when she sees his face, she declares, you were one of them. You followed with those disciples. You're a follower of his. Here's the first of three denials. Verse 70, Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about." She lets it go, but verse 71 tells us a little later, out by the gate. Notice the change of location. Before he's in the courtyard, but now he's moved out by the gate. Another servant girl notices him, probably had also seen him when he had been walking among the disciples. And she said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And now Peter swears he's not one of them. He says with an oath, I don't even know the man that you're referring to. And a little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent. He realizes they've got him. It's true, I'm Galilean. But now he's got to get out of this mess. So please observe what he does. Your Bible says, he swore a curse on me if I'm lying. I want to be careful here, lest you think out came a lot of profanity in this statement. What he uses is a word that is so severe, it's a term used of pronouncing death on oneself at the hand of God if he should be lying. In other words, may I be damned before Almighty God if I am not telling the truth. That kind of swear, that kind of oath. And that's about as extreme as you could get in his third denial. By the way, you may not realize it, but three things happened at this point simultaneously. To see them, you got to go to Luke chapter 22. Turn over there, will you? Luke 22, I'm at verse 59 of Luke 22. This must be one of them because he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Here's the first of three things that occurred. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. While that oath was coming out of his mouth, the rooster crows. If he didn't remember the words of Jesus, he certainly remembered the comment about the rooster. Must have stung to hear that sound in the distance. Before the rooster crows this very night, you will have denied me three times. So at the moment the words are in his mouth, the rooster crows. But Luke adds this tidbit that Matthew doesn't include. Verse 61, at that moment, notice these are back-to-back-to-back events. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You know what that tells me? Peter has made his way from the courtyard to the gate and now up closer to the mansion where their trial is being held, and maybe he's looking through a window or maybe down one of the corridors, and he's able to catch the scene of the torture as it's going on. Must have been shocking to see that. And Jesus turns, we read it right here. Suddenly, we read, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. And now he gets the recollection, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me. You will have denied three times that you even know me. And he weeps bitterly. First the rooster, then the glance from the Lord, and what a look that was. Followed by the realization of his denials that the prediction was correct. Go back with me to Matthew 26. Suddenly the words flashed before his mind and he went away weeping bitterly. Now, hold on. Peter has suffered hundreds of years of being filleted and attacked by one preacher after another, or by one believer after another who goes through these denials and pointing at finger of accusation. You. Wait a minute. Doesn't he weep bitterly? He doesn't shake his fist at Jesus. He breaks. I think it's the first step toward repentance. There are times that tears reveal the first stage of brokenness. And here's a case in point. It's very Pharisaic for anyone to stand and do nothing but accuse Peter for the wrong he did, the denial he was guilty of, and stop there. And to think, I would never do that kind of... Wait, hold it. For a few moments, if you can bring yourself to it, just think back over the last few months, how about years of your own life, promises you didn't keep, warnings you didn't heed, contracts you didn't honor, statements you didn't fulfill, though you said you would. Just remember, we're all in this humanity together. Let's lighten up on Peter. And the truth is, you may not even have wept over it yet. It may have hardened you, and you may be a long ways from repentance, not Peter. As a matter of fact, it says he went away and wept. But wonder where he went. I've never heard anyone address that. Where'd he go? Well, the fact is, we're never told in the scriptures, so we're left to a little imagination. My guess, he went back to Gethsemane. He went back to the place where the rebuke was first given by Jesus, where he first heard the master say to him, Peter, you're telling me all the others may desert, but you never, Peter, don't go, don't. This very night, you'll deny me three times. I think Peter stood in the spot. I'm imagining this, admittedly, but I think he went to the place where his self-assured pride was so firm and where he said more than he should have. Rather than acknowledging that he's weak and he needs the Lord's strength in tough times, he said, I'm not going to be like all the others. Peter realizes here as he goes before the Lord and remembers his backslidden situation. My desire now is not to heap guilt on anyone, but simply to call to mind the reality that we all have some Peter in us. I mean, wonder how long he stayed there working through it. Wonder what he said before the Lord when he fell on his face as a grown man weeping, remembering. Wonder if he came to terms with it. I think he probably did, just like many of us have. At crucial junctures of our lives, we stop short and we say, it's not my brother or my sister, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that needs the forgiveness. Jesus is on trial. Peter is on trial. How about you? Circumstances are different, okay? Let's say you're in an environment that isn't safe. Let's say you're outnumbered. Let's make it even more difficult. Let's say you're the only one. The only one in your company. Let me make it even harder. What if making yourself known as a believer would mean your death? Your sure death. As it's taken place on high school campuses, when a student wouldn't renounce faith in Jesus and was shot by the killer. Or in some country where they find out you're a believer and you are history. It's really worth thinking about because I don't think we're that far from a persecuted church in these United States. I'm not setting dates and I'm not making hard and fast predictions, but I'm able to read the signs that have taken place in my lifetime, and I'll tell you things are far worse now than when I first entered the ministry. I never heard of churches being invaded and people shot while sitting in congregations. That was unheard of. I never heard of little children shot in schools by killers that walked in, killing at random. These are treacherous times. I came across a story that happened back in the 80s, early 80s. True story. Before the wall was down, while there was still the KGB and the informants and all, listen to this and put yourself in the shoes of those who were there. Everyone was so excited to begin. They were especially looking forward to the reading of a new section of the Gospel of Luke that had just been received from a secret home church in another city of the Soviet Union. Since Bibles are so scarce, the churches take them apart and exchange pages with each other. It had taken all day for the local body of Christians to assemble. They had to come at different intervals in groups of two or at most three at a time, so as not to attract the attention of the ever-present KGB informers. Just as they were about to sing with subdued volume, but not enthusiasm, their first hymn of praise, the door burst open and two Soviet soldiers with automatic weapons at the ready rushed in and ordered everyone to line up against the wall. Put yourself in this setting. Every one of you line up against that wall. Anyone who will renounce faith in Jesus may leave now, out that door. The rest of you remain here with your hands up, shouted one of the soldiers. Two, and then four, and more left. The soldiers said again in an even more threatening voice, "This is your last chance to renounce faith in Jesus Christ or else face the consequences." The parents of small children looked down reassuringly at their frightened little faces, but no one else left. One of the soldiers walked over, slammed the door shut. Then they both put down their weapons and said, "All of you keep your hands up, but in praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters." As the believers looked at them in total astonishment, the soldiers said, "We have become believers through contact with other Christians from home churches like yours. We were sent to arrest them, and instead we were converted to their faith. But through our previous experiences, we learned that no one can be trusted unless he or she is willing to die for his faith." Added to this, this is a true incident reported by the underground church in Russia. Where are you in that scene? Where will you be should that ever happen? In some church where you're attending, or some gathering where you've met to study the scriptures. I don't know what the Lord's plan is, but I know that in the last days, times will get only worse. And our testimony for Christ must be crystal clear, not so much lived out in our sermon to other people, but in our lives. When we have a chance, we do share the Savior's message and the gospel, but they're watching our lives long before they're listening to our words. How's your life these days? How's the integrity of your faith with those without Christ? Bow with me, will you? Let's all bow together. Right here where you're sitting today, you may have to admit, frankly, Chuck, I don't even have a faith in Christ. I've never come to know Jesus. Well, there's great hope for you. Right now is the moment. Whoever has the Son of God has life. But if you choose not to have the Son of God, the wrath of God will continue to abide on you. Trust in Him now. Believe in Him now. Perhaps I'm talking to someone that's really on the fence. You've talked one way, but you live another. Sunday comes and you look your best, but it's amazing about Tuesday or Wednesday and life back in the real world. Nobody would guess you're one of the followers of Jesus. Or would they? Today's a great day for you to come to terms with this. That may be the reason you came today, to get off that fence. How good of God to preserve the story of Peter, not just to reveal his failure, but to remind us of ours and the need to make things right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do that right now. Lay it out before the Lord. Describe to him the struggle you have, the weakness that you fight with, that you need the strength that he can give, and then lean on him for it. The test will come this week, I can assure you. This is the day to prepare for it. Father, thank you for catching us up short and out of the blue realizing we're really not reading so much about Peter, but about ourselves. And the scene is not from the first century, but the 21st. Because it's here we see ourselves on trial. Thank you for a truth and the way it cuts right through and gets to our hearts. Humble us, Lord, and remind us that we're all only human. And only by your grace are we able to press on. And give strength to those who are in the midst of circumstances where their testimony is on trial. Give them courage to live for you and to walk with you, and when it's appropriate, to speak for you. We do commit to you this week that unfolds before us. Use today to prepare us for that. Now guard us from stumbling and remind us that we will be presented faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
For those who follow Jesus Christ, we can expect to feel more and more pushback from those who oppose our Christian convictions. We see the obvious signs of persecution intensifying right before our eyes. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of pastor and author Chuck Swindoll. We're in the midst of a comprehensive study through the Gospel according to Matthew called The King of Kings. And to discover a variety of resources available for today's study, please visit us online at insightworld.org. For instance, Chuck has written a daily devotional book called God's Word for You. The subtitle is An Invitation to Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. It's perfectly suited for those who are just beginning their journey or for those who hope to rekindle their affection for Christ. And you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/offer. Or call us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. And then let me offer a big thank you to all those who financially support Insight for Living. Your generosity is truly making a difference in our pursuit of an audacious God-sized dream, and that is to bring Chuck's Bible teaching to all 195 countries of the world. We refer to this mission as Vision 195. To join the team and give a donation right now, call us. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. As we enter into the weekend, remember you're invited to join us online for the Sunday morning worship service at Stonebriar Community Church. You'll find all the instructions for streaming the live worship service at insight.org/Sundays. You've heard him teach about the Holy Land, using word pictures to make us feel like we're actually strolling through the old city.
Learning about Jerusalem is fascinating for sure, but seeing the land of Israel with your own eyes is life-changing. In fact, it's absolutely magnificent.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and the gracious hosts and experts assembled by Insight for Living Ministries. Join us on an unforgettable 12-day tour, March 6th through 17th, 2022.
At special sites along the way, I will teach from God's Word. We'll worship at the Mount of Beatitudes and share the Lord's table at the Garden Tomb. In fact, we'll sail the Sea of Galilee together, and we'll visit places where Jesus walked and taught.
To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444.
Just imagine walking along those sacred sites and seeing the Bible come to life before your very eyes.
Mark your calendar for March 6th through 17th, 2022, and make your reservation by calling 1-888-447-0444 or go to insight.org/events. Insight for Living Ministries' tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll continues our study in the book of Matthew, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Who's Really on Trial, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.